This morning we're going to hear from Pastor Justin. Can you extend your hand to him? Jesus, we pray for Pastor Justin, ask you would use him this morning, that you would speak through him this morning, that you would give him clarity on how he presents, God, clarity in clarity of thought, God, clarity in our ears on how we receive, how we listen, God, our hearts would be ready to receive your word to us this morning. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know when we meet our children of the Lord, we don't come together like some people who are mourning. Today's Sunday is a Sunday of victory, a Sunday of salvation, the Sunday where Jesus was risen to show the world that he's victorious. And if you believe that Jesus is victorious, can you clap the hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Today, maybe I will talk about a lot of things. And maybe you will not hear what I will be talking. It will be a lot of stuff I will be talking about through the word of God. But I want you to remember one thing. If somebody will ask you, what they teach you today in your church, tell them announcement. And the announcement is this. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Amen? That you must feel proud saying that. That no one cause me trouble. In Swahili, we say, Tangu sasa, mtu asinisumbue, kwa maana mwilini mwangu ina chapa za Kristo. In French, nous disons que personne, désormais, ne me fasse de la peine, car je porte sur mon corps le marque de Jésus. That's an announcement. And let's look about some other announcement before we can go through what God wants us to impact this morning. That's why I don't like shopping with my wife. Sometimes I always drop her somewhere. If she tells me, my family know that I don't like shopping. I will drop you. When you are done, call me. It seemed like this lady, she was already bugged where, everywhere she is. The husband is behind. And they said, okay, daycare center for husband. If you need time to relax, you need time for yourself, you need time for shopping, drop him here, but give some money for some drinks. Next announcement. Warning, children left unattended will be sold to the circus. Another announcement, there have been some of them there. Yard sale, I'm divorced. Can you hurry before he gets home? Next announcement, please, neither your pets, your friends, or relatives. Next, honk, if you love Jesus, text, if you want to meet him soon. If you love Jesus, you will honk. But if you want to meet him soon, text while driving. That is a good one. Church parking only. Viola will be baptized. Those are wonderful announcements. And I have another announcement for you. Hallelujah. Did I tell you yet about my granddaughter? Can I tell you about Zara? Zara is a Hebrew name. Means a princess. And I don't know, I didn't tell their parent to bring her to church today. My message, I prepared my message 2 weeks ago speaking about grace. And her name is about Zara Grace. And the other family name, Biakweli. She loved to sleep. But I remember when I was in their house last week, I was holding her, she was awake. But yesterday, they brought her in my home. All afternoon, I did everything I can. My wife bagged her. The father put stuff in her mouth, she never woke up. But I asked the mother what happened. But when she went to Jim's house, she woke up. From 1 o'clock to 6, she's sleeping. But 30 minutes to Jim's house, she's awake. Amen. That's an announcement. But the announcement we are going to talk about today, let's go back to our point. We are going to speak about grace and grace alone. Leo tunenda kuongea kuhusu tangazo juu ya neema. Neema tu ya Mungu, neema ya Mungu inatutosha. Seule la grâce du Seigneur nous suffit. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I'm bearing on my body the marks of Jesus. Who wrote this? I think you guys know that Paul wrote this to the Christian in Galatia. When Paul, we are not going to go through many details, but you need to know that at the first journey of Paul, he went to the area now is called what we call today Turkey to preach. And there were many churches started when he went there to preach. And there are those who were at the place he was preaching, they went on their own. A good leader will be a multiplier. They went on their own to start churches. And here it was one of the most important of his writing because about the grace and the law. I'm not going to say that we need to be breaking the law. If you break the law, you will go to jail. But we don't depend on the law. We depend on the grace of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And here there was a problem. And he was, after 18 months on the journey, he was informed. You know, sometimes people is easy to destroy what you didn't start. People can work hard years, can work months. You can stay on your knees. But somebody, in a twinkling of an eye, he can come or she to destroy. It's easy to destroy what you didn't start. He heard the news that those Christians he preached, those people he's trying to minister to, there are people who had been with the devil spirit to try to destroy people's morale and to corrupt them spiritually and emotionally. So he decided with a leadership emotion, I will write a letter. He didn't want to say that, I will be quiet, I want to be wiser. Some people think to be a wiser man, you need to be silenced when you think things are not going well. Some people think somebody in the meeting, the one who doesn't speak, that's the wiser person. Maybe God can use you to speak a word that will build the body of Christ or the people, that's wisdom. Amen? And him, he decided, I will not allow this. No now, no today. I have been there. Those people have been with me. Those people in Galatia, those churches, they helped me to feed the poor in Jerusalem. Now people are coming behind them with destroying the gospel and destroying Paul's reputation. He wrote the letter. You need to understand that. That letter was about freedom. People have been free by the blood of Jesus. They received the gospel of Jesus and they felt they are free. But people came back to show them that they are still under the law. It's good to feel free. Can you see how when you break the chains, how you can feel loose and free? Freedom is good. I've never been in jail and I don't dream to be there and God protects me. But those who have been in jail, they know being behind bar, how it feels. When we are chained by sins, we don't have freedom. Here in America, so we can have freedom, there is a declaration of freedom. And this is the moment the church must stand for that declaration of freedom. Today, this is the time the church must say, enough is enough. In Nehemiah, this one is out of script. So, Lilies, when I send you my, I feel like, let's read this. Nehemiah 9, 31, 32. Nehemiah is not on script. I felt like this pops out in my heart. We need to share this before we can continue. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 31, 32. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. And Proverbs 28, 16, the Bible says, a leader lack of knowledge oppress people. Doesn't mean that person doesn't have knowledge. That person have lack of knowledge. They doesn't know what they are doing. They oppress people. And this is the time the church must stand up. No. And the church must be the voice of the voiceless. Let me tell you something. This country was built by refugees. Everyone comes somewhere. Let's go to the Bible. There was a leader who loved the power. His name Herod. When he heard Jesus was born, he killed all the small children, and Jesus ran to be a refugee in Africa. He went to Egypt and God told him, make him run so we can save his life. Christianity is not about discrimination. Christianity is not about segregation. Christianity is about what I call the perfect twins. Do you know the perfect twins? Grace and mercy. And grace and mercy comes from Jesus. And the church must stand for grace and mercy. If we can't be silenced now, the history will ask us, what did you do? Where was you? We must stand up for what is right. I remember one time when I'm walking with Franklin Graham, they took us to California for a training. It was called high impact training. And the leader, the one who was training us, he showed us a video. Those people who do skydiving. They were in, those who do skydiving, when they are in the air, there is a soft spot where they can parachute. And the leader, when he saw the soft spot, he told them to be prepared to skydiving, to go down. One of them, he pulled wrong his parachute. And they saw him going, flipping, like he's going to die. You know what the deer said? The leader said, "No now, and no in my drop zone. I will not allow this." All of them, they went down. They know it. They will feel pain. They know it will be painful. They know some people will get some bruise. But all of them, they went under the one who is falling down. They hold all hands together so the one of them doesn't need to die. No now, no in my drop zone. I will not allow it. And the church must stand up. No now, no today. We are not allowing the children of the Lord to be oppressed. We must stand for what is right and must be the voice for the voiceless. If you are with me, can you clap then for the Lord? That's what the Declaration of Freedom is about. That's what America is about. And Paul, he heard that those people he loved dearly, those people he's praying for, those people who has been with him, those people who has been supporting him in ministry, they have been corrupted. Their purpose. Who was the main purpose? What was the main purpose of his message? Is to vindicate Paul's call by God and his gospel of grace. What happened? Some people, they think to lead, they need to shred or to put some other people down. For them to be well seen, well accepted, they need to bring somebody's name to be shredded, to be disqualified. That's what they did. They stood up. When Paul left, do you know what the Bible said? A wonderful farmer went to plant. When he left, the evil one came to plant weeds. That's what the letter of Galatians is like, how and what we are dealing with today in our churches. People come to church. It's not about to come to hear what the gospel, what God wants to give them. What they will come out, what he said wrong. What is wrong with him? What is wrong with his preaching? What's wrong with his teaching? What's wrong with his accent? And you will lose the point why you came to church. If you came to church because of me, you lost your point. But I believe and trust you came to church because of Jesus. Can you clap his hand for him? There were those people, I told you that they were Galatian in Asia Minor. They were Jewish. They obeyed the law, the customs of the law. And those people, they were in different groups. They were Jewish Christian and Gentiles Christian. And all of them were walking together in unity. They came some false professors, false doctors, false teachers. They came in their midst. You know what they did? To start telling them, no, grace can't save you. You need to abide by the law of Moses. Yes, we agree with the Ten Commandments of the Lord. All of those words in the Bible, we respect them and we value them. But what he said, the law will never save us. Grace alone will save us. Amen? Amen. And for that, those people start turning away. You need to understand this. You can build a big house. It can take you many years. But a small bomb in a small park can put that house down for 1 second. And nowadays, that's what is going on. The church will preach, the leader will preach, some other people will come behind to bring some other message. Or if they can't know to attack him through the message, they will attack him personally. You know what they did? They start telling him, Do you know that Paul? No. We know him. Do you know he was killing Christians? Now he's preaching you. And Paul said, how so quickly? Few days ago, few months, I just tell you about the good news that you have been saved by grace. How come you are turning your back? You are turning back to the bad things you were doing before. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It wasn't a gospel at all. Some people now are turning outside the foundation of the Bible. They want to tell us how they feel. They want to tell us what they want. We want what Jesus wants us to be and follow him. Know him in being. Amen? The gospel was under attack. Before they attack the gospel, they decided to attack Paul. Personal attack. I will tell you one thing I remember. Billy Graham preached in Oklahoma. And he said this. You can search that online. The preaching of when you judge, insult your pastor. That's a sin. I'm not saying that past is perfect. But the church has had a good standard and hierarchy how to deal with misdeed of leaders in the church. I will ask you, how many times, I wish the time you'll be sitting there criticizing your leader, your pastors, that's the time you can take praying for him. You want to hear what's wrong with him. When you hear something wrong, you will take a drum and cymbals and keyboards and try playing music. You can't pray. But I will tell you one thing. Jesus said, who are you to judge or to question the men of God? God only has the power to question. And many people, many of you, bring malediction and curse on them. Read the Bible. Read the Old Testament. Those people who stood up against the man, the servant of God, were punished by God. You doesn't understand that pastors are human. Leaders are human. When they do wrong, pray for them. Don't judge them. Don't shred them in pieces. Don't make them a part of conversation in your living room, in your dinner, at your party. You are bringing curse on yourself. That's what the Bible said. And Billy Graham said, you doesn't know how things will happen to you when you question and judge men of God. Pray for them and God will deal with them. Amen? Amen. Do you still love me? Not only that, they start distorting. They will not say what Paul said. Those people who want to attack the gospel or to attack what you are doing, they will never say what you said. They will use your own word and twist it and give it to those people who know how to talk. Why I'm saying this? I'm trying to make sure we have a church of unity, of prayer, and all of us, we live by grace. Those people, so people can follow them, they start questioning, twisting the truth to tell people that the gospel Paul taught you is wrong. We must live by the law. Grace only can save you. They corrupt. They are good. They corrupt and manipulating. They can visit you. They come to your house. They can invite you only to manipulate you, to twist your moral against the truth. It happens. That's what they did for Paul. When Paul left, they stood up with evil spirit to take what Paul already taught them, the salvation, the gospel of grace. They start teaching them, no, he's wrong. He's a killer. And you know what they do? Discrimination and division. Imagine, Jewish Christians were praying together with Gentile Christians. But even among them, they start discriminating themselves, saying that those Gentiles, they are not under our law. You don't need to share with them. Imagine, even Peter, Peter, James, and John, they were elder in Jerusalem. They affirmed that Paul is a servant of God and he can be sent for the gospel. But Peter, again himself in Galatians, he start obeying the law. Those people who distorted, who manipulated, he was afraid of the pressure. You need to know sometimes the majority can be wrong. People can say we are majority and the minority can be right and the majority can be wrong. Many people can say that's how it is, and they are wrong. And Peter also took the same standard. He started obeying the law. He turned away from the grace of the Lord. And Jesus told him. And Paul rebuked him. Not only they didn't stop. I told you that when Paul went to Galatia, now it's called Turkey in Asia Minor, Paul had people he was working with him. To make the gospel fall, to make the mission Paul is doing to fail, they were intoxicating with their words and attitude and doctrine Paul's caliber. If you can see the chapter 1 and chapter 2, that's what Paul was dealing with. Not only that they rejected Paul's mission, they told them what he's doing is nothing. Even if they saw how people in Galatia helped him to feed poor in Jerusalem, they said, yeah, forget him, that man is a killer. Do you know him? It's him who was going to kill Christian. Why now today he's going to preach you? People will use your past. People will use the past and you have been saved by grace and to present it like a new story to destroy you. They did it for Paul. Because they didn't want Paul to preach the good gospel. They never want Paul to preach the grace gospel. They want Paul, people to be under the law, under the rule, under the domination of human being. That's why I'm saying that they did all the best to disqualify Paul due to his past. Who is perfect here? And I want to know anyone who is perfect. If God can count our error, our mistakes, our sins, who can stand up? All of us, we are the way we are because of the grace of the Lord. Amen? When we stand up here singing and praising the Lord, it's because of the grace of the cross. People doesn't know the power of the grace. Those who doesn't know the power of the grace, they judge, they question, and they label. That's not new. It happened to Paul. But Paul said, no now, no here. I will not allow you to disqualify my mission. And he told them, I was called by the Lord. The gospel I'm preaching the gospel given by the Lord through his Spirit. Before I was a sinner, before I was a killer, before I did this and this, but today, by the grace of God, I can stand up and preach the gospel. Can you clap your hand for the Lord? There were those Judaism. Those were Jewish who were obeying the law. They live by the law. They practice the law. And they start saying in the church, anyone who is not circumcised is not allowed to go in the church or to be part of them. Their teaching stated that God's grace and human effort were required for salvation. They were telling people that God's grace will never save you. You need to do your own effort and combine also God's grace. That's how you will be saved. This meaning following the main ritual of religions and Judaism ceremonies. Many Gentiles who were converted, they were confused. We just meet this man called Paul. He teaches a wonderful message. But those people who was walking with him, now they are turning the back, now telling us he's bad. Do you see how people confuse people? Paul taught them the gospel of salvation. Those people who were with Paul, they came against him and telling people, yeah, I know him better than you. He's this. He did this, he does this, and me who is talking to you, I'm perfect, I'm the good one, follow me. I will tell you one advice. If you want to start your ministry, or to have any vision, or you want to do something, don't destroy other people's reputation. Don't think people will follow you and you are destroying other people's reputation. When you destroy another person, they will never follow you. And the word of God said, don't. One time, Franklin told me, in Ghana, I'd had one leader I chose to be a national leadership team in Ghana, and that person was a pain for me. Anytime I want to go to Ghana to do ministry, because when we give them things, that person will use those things for their own gain. And they never want me to come there to do checks and balance. You know what she did? All those people I recruited to work with me in Ghana, she makes them, intoxicating them, against me. And they went until to the immigration when I came back to the airport in Ghana to tell me to go back. And I went back, I talked to Franklin. Franklin told me this. Anyone who don't respect leadership, don't ever put him or her into leadership. If you can't respect a leader, if you can't respect somebody who is leading you, don't ever put that person into leadership. Kama hawezi kuheshimu madaraka, na hawezi kupewa madaraka. And second, Billy Graham told me this. Instead, facing the music all the time, when you pass around, you see that person who is making you to suffer in the ministry. It's better to get rid of that person to face the music once than suffering all the time. In ministry, and Paul didn't want to say, I want to paint this is nice. He told them, this is wrong. People are saved by grace. Paul taught them about grace. Salvation is by grace, by Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else. If you want to be saved, imagine what we go through. Imagine the life we have. Imagine the pain we have. But all that without Jesus is nothing. We cannot win in or deserve salvation. For it is by grace you have been saved through the faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by the works, so that no one can be boast. Don't try to put yourself high to think that you are the most best. And sitting there, judging people, questioning people with their standard, the way they are dressing, the way they are wearing, the way they are. You are not. Only Jesus have a right. Amen? And he told them, for it is not by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. You can't save yourself. Only we get saved by the grace of Jesus. The Judeans charge all those Jewish. They start saying that, you know that Paul? We listen to him when he's preaching. His teaching is deceitful. I don't want to join him because his teaching is deceitful. So, if Paul's teaching was deceitful, what did you do to help him? Judge him, question him, talking about him, or you prayed with him or for him. His apostleship was false claim. Imagine. They start talking, even Paul is not an apostle. There are some people who know what you do, who know your responsibility and how you are called, but they will deny it. So to put you down. They talk to people in Galatia that what Paul is teaching, we don't know even him. But if you can read the word of God, Peter, James, and John, those leaders talked to them, told them, this man is saved and we approved him. He's a man of God. And all church leadership knows him and approved him. But you know what they say? His apostleship is false. He's not even a pastor. He's not even a leader. By carrying out all or minimizing the law, he could not be a true God-called minister of the law. They said, because he said that we are saved by grace, as Jewish we love the law. He can't be a pastor or a minister or an apostle and he doesn't obey the law. What was Paul's approach? Galatians 1 through 5, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by man. You guys are questioning my integrity, questioning my message, and attacking the gospel. But I want to tell you, I wasn't called by you. I wasn't sent by men. I was sent by Jesus. Amen? But by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the church in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory ever and ever. Amen? Amen. That was Paul's approach. And there is some other in Galatians. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting one who called you. If you are called with people, you will follow people. If you are called by God, you will follow God. If you are called by your tribe, you will follow your tribe. If you are called by your color, you will follow your color. If you are called by Jesus, you will follow Jesus. Because we belong to Jesus. We are united for Jesus. We are not united by tribe, language, color, or tribe. We are paid by the blood of Jesus. Can you clap hands for Jesus? As we already said. So now, I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be under a God's curse. When you distort the truth, you preach people or you change the word of God, you are under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human being or the approval of man? Many people work hard so people can be approved them. But we must work hard to be approved by Jesus. Amen? If I were still trying to please people, I will not be servant of Christ. Imagine, I never see a wonderful person in this world like Jesus. Everything he did, everything he stand for, never been accepted. But he keep going. So you and me, we can be saved the way we are today. Nothing you will get what they didn't do to Jesus. Only be faithful to the Lord. Trust in Jesus that our Savior lives today, tomorrow, and forever. He is our Savior. Galatians 1:11-14. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not from origin, from human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor I was taught it. Rather, I received by revelation from Jesus. For you have heard of my previous way of the life of Judaism. Now, intensely, I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and I was extremely zealous for the tradition of my father. He showed them, yes, you said I was a sinner. I was killing Christians. Yes, I did. But now I'm standing by the grace of God. Amen? Galatians. James, Peter, and John, those estimate in Peter, gave me and Barnabas the right and fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. Remember I told you, they told the people in Galatia that Paul is not even an apostle. Nobody knows him. And they know that those who were with Jesus approved his work and what he was doing. Opposition attacked on the gospel. Yet no, even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised even through his word, a Greek. Titus was a gentle. Under pressure of people who was criticizing Paul, he was obligated to bow to follow the law so he can be with them. We are not trying to follow the law of human so we can fit in. We need to follow the law of Jesus so we can go to heaven. Amen? I'm trying to finish up here to go quickly. I'm going to go to the last, the unity of outcome. How the Gentiles and the Christian lives together. And how he told them, you reap what you sow. Do not be deceived. God not can't be mocked. A man reaped what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. However sows they please, the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. If you are a person or a woman of grace and mercy, you will get mercy also. If you are a person, an oppressor, a person who talk about people, who destroy people's life and reputation, you will reap what you are planting. But the grace of the Lord is above all that. Amen? Now let's go. After Paul, he was like a parent. After telling them the main key, he wanted to show them that we are saved by grace. But also he didn't allow them to destroy his reputation. He wanted to talk to those people. He preached who he is and what he's called to do. At the end, now he's going to tell them, now can you hear me? This is my announcement. From now on, amen? I know you have been taught a lot of things. People have been preaching, you're trying to take them back. You are destroying the gospel. You are distorting the gospel's word of God. But you need to know that the life I have today is not me. It's Christ who lives in me. Yes, I, Paul, I was a sinner. Yes, I, Paul, I was persecuting Christian. But today, can you hear me? From now, let no one. That's my announcement. That will be your announcement. Don't accept anybody to question your faith. Don't allow anybody to question your Christianity. Don't allow anybody to question the way you are worshiping the Lord. You are saved by grace. From now, let no one trouble me. From now, let no one cause me trouble. Because I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Do you know why he uses that word, marks of Jesus? The farmer knows when you own a cow, you put a marks on that cow so you can know your cow. Those who own the slaves here in America, they put marks of them so they can know they're slaved. And we are saved by Jesus. I have the mark of Jesus. Jesus owned me. You question me, you judge me, you judge your brother, you judge your grace. Know that all of us, we are saved by grace. Amen? We must understand this. You are bearing the marks of Jesus. If we can ask anyone here what Jesus did for them, where they were when Jesus accounted with them, you will tell story and stories. You have a story to tell. I'm not questioning your faith. I'm not questioning your Christianity. I'm not questioning the one who called you. But you need to know this. Jesus called you. And you are the way you are by grace. Don't allow anybody to put you down or to question or to judge your Christianity or your faith. Today, the church is under trouble. We are being questioned, but we must give them an announcement from now. Let no one question me. Let no one cause me pain. Let no one trouble me because I bear marks of Jesus. Can you clap then for the Lord? Video, please. Let's listen. Let's see one video here before we finish.
My child, you may not know me.
Volume.
But I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
That's our Father. No condition. He receives us the way we are. His grace and his love is beyond our understanding. Is beyond our deeds. Is beyond our knowledge and skills. He's our Father. He always be, he is, and he was. If we give our heart to him, whatever we go through, we need to understand that his grace is greater than our sins. While listening to this melody and this song, I will ask some of the pastors and leaders and prayer team to stand up here. My message to you is to tell you that the grace of the Lord is greater than our sins. You are saved by grace. The life you have is by grace. The prayer team can come here. And the leaders can be here. If you need prayer, the grace of the Lord is greater than our sins. The grace of the Lord is greater than our misdeeds. While you can sing, if you want, you can sing with us the songs and ask the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. Maybe you have been questioned, oppressed, and persecuted. But I'm telling you, from now, let no one trouble you. Let no one cause you pain, because you have the mark of Jesus. Jesus bought you on the cross with his blood he shed on the cross. Let us pray. While I'm praying, and the worship team, those who are back there, they can come here. They will be singing the song to close. Wakati nikiomba, waimbaji wanaweza kuja huku mbele. God our Father, thank you for choosing yourself and having a plan for our salvation. We didn't deserve it. We were lost sinners. But your grace is greater than our sin. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for taking ownership of our lives. Thank you for saving our lives. We were lost. We thank you for shedding your blood on the cross because of our sins. We don't know how we can express your love to us. What we can say, thank you, great Father. Thank you, your almighty Father. Your love, your mercy, your grace endure forever. And we thank you for that. See my brother who is here, my sister, everyone who is here. We want your blood you shed on the cross to be sprinkled on the wounds of their hearts. Anyone who have pain in their heart, who had sorrow, heal them with your blood in Jesus' name. We want to be united in you. You build the covenant to unite us with yourself. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song together to finish. I'm a soldier. We are the soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. When we have been recruited, we have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we belong to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us in your house. And thank you for saving us and giving your life on the cross. We are saved by grace. As we are going to live here, we want the same grace to follow us everywhere we go. In our homes, at work, in our neighborhood, in our cars. We want your mercy and grace to follow, to be around us in Jesus' name. Go bring hope to the hopeless. Go show mercy and grace to the voiceless. Now and forever, in Jesus' name. Go, children of the Lord, and God bless you. Amen.